been a Chrome fan for a long time, and of course a Creed fan for a long time. And I just started listening again, and then to find out that Half Machine from the Sun is coming out, is already come out, which is some of your Chrome work from 79-80, right?
Geeked it up on you, didn't we?
And I was just kind of wondering if you could give us a little laydown of how that came about and what the... I noticed that you were on Pledge Music and everything, and just a little bit of how you discovered the tracks existed again, or how that came about.
Well, yeah, we started doing Pledge. It was my, you know, my partner's idea, and that went okay. We're done with it now. We've actually completed that, and we're moving on. And it got us to where we could put out this album, you know, and it's doing very well, actually.
I noticed that on the Pledge Music site, like you got 171%. You didn't get 100% of what you were asking for. You almost got double that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We did pretty good, you know. Although, you know, Pledge is a lot of work, though, you know. So it's also a lot of work, but it's also good for promotion, too. It does a lot of things, you know, and we just thought we'd try it out, and it's done a lot of good things for us, you know.
Yeah. So did you have to, the purpose of it was to reacquire the rights to the tracks, or was it more like just the release of the material?
Oh, the release of it, yeah. You know, to get the money for the release of it, you know, because we still had to mix it, and, you know, some of the tracks needed to be, you know, mastered and stuff. You know, so there's a lot of work still.
Where did you find them? I was just kind of curious how they came about. Like,
they were at Mobius Music in his storage, you know, and they were forgotten about. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I forgot about them. And Joe bought them, Joe Dupree, and then we bought them off Joe.
So they like... album tracks that didn't make it to Half Machine Lip Move, stuff like that, or just like random sessions?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we had way more than, you know, we had way more than enough. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard to choose what we were going to use and what we weren't going to use. And then a lot of it was political, you know, because there was two people back then, you know.
What was the process like in remixing the album, because, or these particular tracks? Because, you know, 30 years had gone by. So did you try to put yourself in that kind of mindset to 1970?
Yeah, there was only a couple songs that needed, you know, finishing. But yeah, absolutely. I think I might have laid a guitar track and a vocal track. That's about it. Everything else was done.
Wow.
And we just mixed it.
I'm really excited to hear that.
I am too. I'm really excited.
You know, there's been a lot of requests for reissues, particularly of Chrome and even your solo work, like particularly Superior Catholic Finger. And I was just wondering, in the age of like vinyl resurgence, and if you do you have any opinion about that? Like, what do you think of all the like records coming back? As far as
well, I think that's great, you know, and I could see a reason for that. You know, records are a beautiful thing. You could actually look at the grooves, you know, it's romantic and everything else. It's very interesting because at the time I did put out Superior, things went to CD right away. Everybody, it was a big thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now it's a big thing to go back.
Right.
So when Chrome was first formed and there was a lot of access to some of the unique European kind of style music? I mean, I know you say you had your influences from a lot of, like, you know, classic rock and stuff when you were growing up and everything. But did you have access to, like, I don't know, like just weird French kind of like kraut rock or anything, or things like
well,
that?
Well, I was really into Hawkwind and, yeah, you know, British rock and Kraftwerk, German rock, you know. That just seems to be where it was at for us, you know, and Can and stuff like that. And And then, you know, there's Pure Ubu in Cleveland. You know, that came along, and all this was very influential to us.
When you guys were starting this kind of new sound, really, did you guys have any idea that you were the impact that you would have on psychedelic punk and just like this new form of music?
Not really, but I knew we wanted to be acid punk, you know what I mean? Like, we were just going to be a punk band, and I go, well, everybody else is being a punk band. We got to do something different. And so being as that we both came from a psychedelic background, we just integrated that into punk, and it worked, you know? It worked pretty well.
Well, what's it like being considered basically a founder of this kind of psych punk, kind of sci-fi punk kind of sound? What's it?
I mean, somebody had to do it, I guess, but it feels good, you know? I mean, things couldn't stay the same, and music is always evolving, and people are what make things evolve through demand, you know? And so I guess all we did was fill the void, you know?
It's always fun seeing Jesus Lizard do covers of Creme songs during their sets. I think Abstract Nympho, right? Is that the song?
They did a combo of Abstract Nympho and I think another song from the Half Lips album.
TV is Eyes.
That's right. And it was on a single at first. I remember that.
Yeah. And then they did Abstract Nympho and TV is Eyes. I don't know I guess they blended them together or something.
They did.
Yeah.
I was curious as to the sound that you kind of came up with. Like, do you remember what kind of stuff you were using in order to create that kind of sound that you had back in 79-80, and then like how you progressed and kind of what you got now on your effects board and stuff? I'd be really curious about that.
Well, we had a jet phaser, Roland jet phaser.
Nice.
That was a big part of our sound, and I just got a new one from back in the day to help bring back that sound, because they're really hard to find, and a fan sent me one, and so I'm going to make good use of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
That's cool.
So I mentioned a few years ago that I've been looking for one, and they're just impossible to find, and then all of a sudden the fan sent me one, and I just go, oh boy, how lucky can I be?
Can you distinguish what you create as a Creme song compared to your solo work?
Well, actually, I viewed the solo work as more of kind of more rock, you know, because we played a lot of that live. And we toured Europe and everything. So it was a different kind of a band, because I would say it was more rock and less experimental. But although we would experiment with it, you know, and I am the writer of Creme, so you're going to notice similarities. Yeah.
What made you start up Creme again? I know you and Dam and Edge were kind of talking about it, or I understand that you guys were kind of talking about it.
3 months before he died, we were talking about it, you know, getting together, and he didn't sound too good. But, we were talking about making another record, and then I learned 3 months later that he passed away.
Really sad,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah, because, you know, we were definitely wanting to, do.
It was about 12 years, right, between when you and Damon split up as Creme, and then you were talking about getting back together.
Yeah,
it was about 12 years?
It's been since 80, yeah, or 79, 80, you know, around thereabouts. We started talking about getting back together, but I had no idea that, you know, he was so sick.
Retro Transmission, I think, was the first Creme album that you did after the Creme hiatus, right?
Yeah, I did Retro. And, that was my first venture without him, you know what I mean? And
how did that feel?
Fun to keep it going. that was weird, you know, because I felt like I had to do it, you know. It felt kind of clumsy at first, but after a while, you know, because we do take the time when we play live to play all the classics, you know, what
right.
people want to hear, you know, and then we play new stuff. Because I don't have Damon in the band, I really try hard to bring people what they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. To kind of capture the, what you think would be the sound of Chrome.
Yeah. What they would want. And what they would want would be for us to play as much of Half Machine Lip Moves as possible.
It's a classic.
It is a classic. Totally.
Yeah, and, you know, another stuff which wasn't on the agenda before. So that's what we try to do. Mm-hmm. So, and the people that we use are total Chrome devotees. So I think we pulled it off pretty good, you know?
Yeah. And you guys, when you play out, do you still do you do some Chrome sets as well, right?
We totally do the classics, you know, and we make it sound exactly like the record if we can, you know. I'm really into that, you know.
I think you should be, damn it. That's awesome.
I mean, some of those records to reproduce that live is a feat in and of itself, right?
As long as you have the right effects, it's not really hard at all, you know, I find. You know?
Okay,
I
cool. Mean, but you're the master of that.
Well, the problem is just having the right stuff, you know, and finding it. But, you know, you could ad-lib, too. I mean, there's other ways around certain things if you don't have it to do something else, which we've had to do. Often, you know. But yeah, we're very committed to making the show sound like a friggin' record, you know, as much as possible and vice versa. And you could hear that if you go to YouTube, you could hear some of our live in Lincoln shows that some, you know, it was a small room, but it was a good sound.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, come to Richmond. I want to see you again.
Oh, Richmond.
I haven't
yeah,
seen you in like 20
there,
years.
You know, I'll do it again, yeah.
Hell yeah, that'd
for
be
sure.
Awesome.
yeah.
Well, I was reading a recent interview with you and about how, you know, psychedelic music, you know, in the 60s was all like flower power and all this other stuff. And you guys kind of, or I would say you definitely brought a particular darkness to a psychedelic sound.
Yeah, because what it was is like, well, we were both into psychedelic music, but we weren't into the flowery hippie shit, you know what I mean? Because we were also into punk. So it only made sense to bring the two together, you know, like chocolate and peanut butter, you know?
Perfect.
Two tastes that go well together, I don't know. It worked, you know, it was fun.
Do you think that even today, after kind of bringing the sound in about 30 years ago and then continuing what you do now, a lot of bands now kind of try to mimic your sound and everything? And I know you just do your thing, but the relevance that you have, I mean, do you just kind of, when you come up with a new album like your last solo record, Galactic Octopi, which has been given crazy good reviews as like some of your best work. Do you kind of like absorb in some of what's going on around you or what's going on kind of in music today in order to kind of breed that? Or are you just kind of like in your own Helios Creed bubble, I guess?
Well, in a way I am kind of in my own bubble, but I do look around me, you know, and when somebody plays something I like, I do soak it in, you know, and it will inspire me, you know, eventually. So, yeah, I'm not totally closed off, you know, but with Helios Creed, yeah, I am in sort of my own bubble with that. And I'm glad that people like Galactic Octopi because, you know, I had no idea that. You know, it should have been promoted better, but it's doing better now, actually, with the release of the Chrome stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, that's great. What is some of the stuff that you're listening to now that you're just kind of like, man, like anything today that reminds you of like the groundbreaking stuff like you did with Chrome and your own kind of music? Is there anything out there now that you could kind of recommend to us listeners out there?
Let's see. I think Christina turned me on to Fatso Jackson, I think it is. Okay. Fatso Jackson or Fatso Jetson, and they sound sort of like us with more of a poppy, I don't know. So, yeah, people are trying to, you know, are patterning themselves after us. It's kind of strange, I guess, you know, because, well, to tell you the truth, when I put out the first Helios Creed record, nobody really liked it, you know?
You're like, what's that? You know,
it's not
like,
chrome.
Yeah, right. It was probably like that.
Yeah, it wasn't chrome, yeah, for one thing, and it wasn't weird enough, and I go, well, I just wanted to make a song record, and so I sort of had to do Superior Catholic Finger, you know what I mean?
Yeah, understood.
To show them that, yeah, we could, Helios Creed is out there too, you know.
And now you have a tribute album dedicated to you. What do you think about that?
That's a trip, yeah. It's really something else, you know. You know what's weird is when I listen to some of that stuff and I go, God, I like that better than my version, you know. That's weird, you know. Like, well, I really do like that, you know.
I guess it means you're inspiring people and they're doing their own twist on what you put out there initially.
And they do a damn good job, I must say.
Now, you're a sci-fi fan, I imagine, right?
Yeah, I grew up on, you know, Star Trek and all, you know, 2001 and 2010 and all that crap, you know. I loved it, you know. I mean, back in, let's see, when was it? Back in the eight, God, it had to be when I was in high school. 2001 came out,
right?
And we made a point to do acid.
Acid and watch.
Yeah, 2000 to see 2001. That was
the last sequence.
That
yeah,
was the quest, you know. And it just went on from there, you know. The quest just kept going.
Did that kind of trigger your want to do this kind of psychedelic, kind of dark sci-fi kind of rock throughout your career?
Maybe. You know what actually did it for me is when I went to go see Black Sabbath on Orange Sunshine. And what I did is I just added some effects to Black Sabbath, you know, to me, it sort of made chrome. But that's what sort of made me think, you know, along those lines.
Now, I read on, and I don't, this probably is not true, but I don't know, is there a new chrome in the works right now, or is there new?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a new chrome. After Lost Tracks, we're finishing the new tracks, and they'll be done in a few months, couple months.
Is there an album title yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I wish I did have one, but we don't. We do have a song, though, that we're featuring. It's called Prophecy.
Prophecy?
So, yeah, we might, that song might be stuck with that title because we've been calling it that as a working title for so long now. Nobody can think of calling it anything else, you know.
There you go.
It was, yeah, you know how it goes. You can get that when you pledge. You get that song. It's kind of a sample
nice
of the new album when you pledge.
Excellent.
Yeah. I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Check your website.
Hard to keep up on.
And so do you know? So you're mixing that down. So do you expect a release probably next year, the beginning of next year or sometime?
Hopefully sooner. Yeah. Probably right around the beginning of the year, I would say. Hopefully.
Cool.
You know, if all goes well and all, you know, on course.
Are you going to be touring with the new record or anything like that once it comes out?
I hope to, yeah. As soon as it's done, we're going to do everything. We're going to play everywhere. So, yeah, you haven't seen The Last of Us, that's for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, Richmond, Virginia would look forward to
that. Or at least Washington, D.C.
Oh, we're there. We're going to be there.
Cool.
And I'll make a mental note to make sure we're there now.
You don't remember playing the Metro like in 90, 92, somewhere in there?
I kind of do, yeah. I do, you know.
Some ex-San Francisco is in the crowd.
I remember whenever we play that area, because I have a few friends there, too.
Right.
So they always remind me, you know.
You got a place to crash.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Always.
I was just thinking about, you know, when you guys were starting, you know, San Francisco and the Residents have been going on for a while, and you were on a an EP with them, Subterranean Modern. Are you guys still, are there any connections over the last couple of decades with the Residents? Between Chrome, or you?
Well,
and the Residents?
We haven't done anything with them.
But just like hanging out or whatever?
I don't know who owns the Residents now. I don't even know if it's the same people.
It's the one guy. It's still the lead singer.
He played in D.C. back in February. The Residents played in D.C. back in February.
Right on. Okay. Yeah, I think I heard about that.
All right. So I have the Chrome box set, the vinyl box set, which is kind of falling apart now because, you know, it's 20, 30, whatever years old now.
But, it happens, yeah.
But, you know, slip it to...
Well, you have the original box set?
Yeah, yes, how about that?
Oh, my God. That must be falling apart.
Yeah. The cardboard's kind of defunct now. But so
I remember when that box was made and, we were on Subterranean, and Subterranean put it out. And Monty Kazaza said, yeah, it's like a black hole inside Subterranean, you know, because it wasn't moving at first, you know, and it was just sitting there, and then all of a sudden it moved, you know.
It's in the store.
It was
I'm
weird.
Buying it.
Yeah, we were getting made fun of. Hey, the black hole of Subterranean.
But so the song Slip It to the Android, if you spin it backwards, you can backwards unmask the very beginning and the end of that song,
right?
And the way it's been a while since I've done that, but I think you have like an electronics advertisement at one of those backwards masking thing. The other is like a little
it's
bit of a quote.
Possible. We advertise for everybody.
Phil Coe, the leader. Another one sounded like it was part of the Book of John and the Bible. And I was
even
like,
Pat Stevens, who hates buttermilk.
That's right. I remember that little track right before. That's hilarious. Just kind of, you know, it's kind of in a way like William Burroughs, kind of like a cut and paste kind of thing going on with that album, which is
it's very important. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Those words are really important.
But I guess just the whole point of it, it's like you had these like big, huge arena rock kind of bands come along, and then punk comes along, and then you guys come along, and it's just like, what the hell, which is brilliant, you know.
Yeah.
It's just such a great
yeah.
I was just listening to Alien soundtracks today, actually, and not in preparation
yeah.
for the interview, just to do.
You're going all the way to the beginning of the H-Man.
Once you start an album, though, like you just can't stop. You have to listen to the whole thing. I usually find
that. Absolutely. And did you go to Half Machine after that?
Yes. Back to back.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's just constantly on the playlist.
I guess you could sort of see how we tried to pattern Half Machine after Alien soundtracks, because that was a success. Oh, we got to make another success. And I think we did it, but Red Exposure was quite different than Alien, than Half
Kind of more New Wave-ish, in
right,
a way.
And was that more, was that a conscious, I mean, I know it was a conscious effort, but what was the reasoning behind that, do you think? At the
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't.
Just more hits?
We just wanted to, we felt it was time to do something different, and we did.
Awesome.
Electric Chair, yeah. Great little song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad it worked out, you know.
Yeah, I think.
But and then Third from the Sun was quite different, you mm-hmm. know. So, mm-hmm. but you know, you got to go back to your roots every once in a while, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's important.